fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Hello and welcome to Short Stuff. There's Chuck, there's Jerry, I'm Josh, and this is, well, I already said Short Stuff. I've already screwed up and wasted time, squandered precious time, Chuck. Let's just get started. Oh, yeah. Like I said, oh, yeah.
Who was the, God, I can't remember the Simpsons character now. What a dummy.
Bleeding Gums Murphy?
Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Well, he played the sax.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know.
He was a jazz man, not a blues man.
He was a hep cat.
He was super hep. He wore, like, sandals year-round without socks. With suits, I believe.
So, yeah, this is about the blues, and specifically Robert Johnson. And this is, I have an interesting relationship with the blues.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in that I love occasionally putting on, like, Sun House or Robert Johnson or something like that. And enjoy it for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have to turn it off. And I also recognize that blues is the foundation of rock and roll.
Sure.
Like, full stop.
Right.
But I also hate, like, I just call it the Blind Willie's Blues. It's a place here in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
This legendary blues bar. Yes. Where, like,
it's like the blues version of smooth jazz.
Yeah. It's like where you see, like, the 52-year-old in flip-flops and cargo shorts up there playing the blues.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that makes me hate the blues, despite loving rock and roll and recognizing that blues is the foundation of that.
I'm with you. So you can be selective. It is complicated, actually. That's really, really good way to put it.
All right. So we're talking about Robert Johnson and whether or not he sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads to gain more talent as a blues guitarist and singer. Spoiler, that did not happen because there is no devil.
What? I've wasted my life.
But we're going to talk a little bit about Robert Johnson's history and he's certainly a man who sang the blues for a reason, a lot of reasons.
Yeah, he had a pretty rough life. So he was, as a little kid, he got moved from place to place, mostly between little towns in Mississippi and, I believe, Memphis. And he lost his dad early on. I think his dad left. His stepfather abused him, and he... Yeah, he just kind of had it rough, especially after he became an adult. He married his girlfriend, Virginia, and they had a kid, and Virginia and the baby died during childbirth. And so he kind of got unmoored after that and very, very quickly started singing the blues more than ever and became a pretty hardcore alcoholic, I believe, as a result. So, yeah, he definitely had it rough, and he lived the life that you could live to be the foundation of the blues, basically, which he grew up to be.
Yeah, and they think he's a member of the 27 Club,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps the first, even, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
But he died at 27 years old, supposedly out of, and, you know, records are tough on guys like Robert Johnson, but supposedly was poisoned by the husband of one of his lovers on, you know, when he was 27 years old.
Right. So, but in that time, though, he managed to create, like, a body of work that, like you said, is basically pointed to as one of the major blocks in the foundation of rock and roll. This is in the 30s that he was playing prolifically, right?
Yeah, and he followed in the footsteps of, he wasn't the first blues guitarist by any means.
No, he wasn't. And in fact, there's a story, and this is the whole thing where it's like, you know, why did he sell his soul to the devil? What's the story? We're going to tell you this story. The whole thing starts back in 1930 in Robinsonville, Mississippi, and there is a juke joint where the blues is being played by a couple of legends, Sun House, who you mentioned.
Yeah, love it.
And I think, who else was there that night?
Willie Brown
was playing that night. And these guys were already established as Delta bluesmen, right? And the house was packed, and I guess in between sets, a very young Robert Johnson came up to the stage and grabbed, and I'm sure the stage was just a chair that was on at the same level as the other chairs or wherever people were sitting or sure. standing. And he grabs a guitar, not even his guitar. I mean, the audacity, right?
Yeah.
And he starts playing. And because it's Robert Johnson, you would assume that everybody was just stopped, transfixed at how amazing he was. That is not how it went down at all, as a matter of fact.
No, he wasn't very good. and Sunhouse, you know, even says, he said that people came and told him, why don't some of y'all go down and make that boy put that thing down? He's running us crazy.
Right, because his playing was so bad.
Yeah.
And this is humiliating enough. They went over and basically said, you not only need to stop playing, you need to leave this juke joint. You just showed you're actually not cool enough to even sit here as like an audience member anymore. So he left and he disappeared and he vanished. And then a year later.
As legend has it.
Right. At another blues place, again, Willie Brown and Sunhouse were playing. And Robert Johnson shows up. And he shows up with a guitar, his own guitar this time, mm-hmm. and he starts playing, and it's like nothing anyone else has ever heard. This guy has turned insanely good almost overnight.
And he's got a seventh string on his guitar, and everyone was like, what?
Yeah, and he used it to great effect. Eric Clapton put it succinctly. He said that he was simultaneously playing a disjointed bass line on the low strings, rhythm on the middle strings, and lead on the treble strings, which had the effect of sounding like there were multiple people playing when it was really just him on that seven-string guitar. That's how fast and how varied the music he was playing was, and no one had ever heard anything like it.
Yeah, so the legend is that he went down to the crossroads during that time, sold his soul to the devil, and Satan granted him with these special talents in exchange for his soul.
But like you already spoiled, that actually probably didn't happen.
So should we take a break?
We should take a break. We'll do some more explaining when we get back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Chuck, so we've established that there actually isn't a devil, mm-hmm. unless it's the greatest trick you ever pulled.
Oh.
We may have just fallen victim to that. But not only so does that mean that story didn't happen in that sense, it probably didn't even happen to Robert Johnson. There seems to have been a case of mistaken identity, because there's a story of an earlier blues man who's not related to Robert Johnson, but had the same last name. His name was Tommy Johnson. And if you're a fan of the movie Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
And you were only familiar with Robert Johnson like me, you may have been wondering all this time why they didn't just call that character, Tommy Johnson, Robert Johnson, since he was clearly based on Robert Johnson. Well, it turns out I know now that the Coen brothers did their homework.
They tend to do that.
Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, Tommy Johnson was in that movie and had sold his soul to the devil in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's been covered elsewhere. There was that great movie to me, Crossroads, with Ralph Macchio.
Was it good?
Well, I mean, it was one of those HBO movies that, as a young kid who got a guitar at 13, watched mm-hmm. like 50 times.
I never saw it.
I thought it was pretty great. I mean, Steve Vai is in it.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he plays Satan's right-hand man and lead shredder in the main cutting heads competition at the end.
Did Pat Morita play Satan?
No. He totally should have. No, who was it? Oh, man, he's been in stuff. If you saw him, you'd be like, oh, he plays a good Satan.
Wings Hauser.
No.
Treat Williams.
No.
I don't know then.
Those are the only three actors you know.
Yeah.
Tommy Chong? No.
Right.
Anyway, I haven't seen it in a while. I'd like to check it out. But there's always sort of been this blues legend all the way around, is where the crossroads, you go meet the devil. You sign up for a lifetime of hellfire in exchange for what seems to be like a good deal on earth, even though the tail end of that tale always ends as like they die young or something.
Right. Don't fall for it, kids.
That's right. Like, supposedly Jimmy Page sold his soul to the devil, too.
Sure. Who didn't, you know? So the story, though, you know, seems to have originated with Tommy Johnson.
And yeah, I think so.
There's an article. There's this site, Chuck, called Paranormal Academic, which is just like a dream come true for me. I just found it. It was linked to in this How Stuff Works article. And
does that mean you're not going to tinfoilhat.com anymore?
No, not anymore. I've rescinded my membership.
All right.
So on Paranormal Academic, there's an excerpt from an interview with Tommy Johnson's brother, who said, Tommy told me the story of what happened, and he supposedly went down to the crossroads. He said, anybody can do this. You get onto the crossroads, get there a little before midnight to make sure you're there on time, which mm-hmm. is hilarious that he included that little detail. Be punctual. And if you bring your own instrument, a like great big black man will show up, take your instrument from you, tune it for you, hand it back, and the deal is done. That's how it happens. And that's
right.
What the legend became. And but then at some point, it seems to have been transposed onto, from Tommy Johnson, onto the later on much greater known Robert Johnson. And Robert Johnson seems to have been like, sure, yeah, that happened to me. And you can really see that in some of the song titles of the body of his work.
Yeah, Hellhound on My Trail, Me and the Devil Blues. Obviously, the song Crossroads, Crossroad Blues,
mm-hmm.
Up Jump the Devil. Here's the thing, though. The singing about the devil and talking about the devil in that community at that time was very commonplace. And Robert Johnson was talking about his demons.
Right.
Not literal demons. Just his demons in life. Because he had a rough go and then, you know, fell into alcoholism and chasing women and probably believed that the hellhounds were on his tail. Or, I'm sorry, on his trail.
Right.
So, and his tail, let's be honest.
Right. The devil had given him. So that's the interpretation by his grandson, Stephen Johnson, who also has an answer for that question. Okay, all right, fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, but besides the supernatural, how could somebody go from zero to hero blues legend-wise in just a year like that? And Stephen Johnson's like, actually, it was probably more like 3 years. Like, yeah, he actually probably was kicked out of that juke joint for playing badly. And he probably did come back and blow those same people away. But it wasn't a year. It was about 3 years. And he didn't go sell his soul to the devil. He went and studied under a legendary guitarist named Ike Zimmerman, whose family confirms that Robert Johnson was there all the time around that time.
Yeah, so like the boring but also inspiring answer was practice.
Yeah, don't sell your soul.
He got good because he played a ton of guitar, probably because he wanted to get better, but probably also due to a little bit of shame and wanted to go back there and make a name for himself. So he practiced and practiced and practiced like anybody who is good at anything does.
And that is the true legacy of Robert Johnson, legendary blues man, right?
That's right.
Well, thanks for listening. You can read about this article on How Stuff Works. That's where we got this one, right, Chuck?
That's right.
All right. Well, then, until next time, short stuff away!
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.